Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Shmuel Aleph, and we are learning Perek Chaf Hei of Shmuel Aleph. Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to finish the Perek tonight, and then we'll see how much time we have. We may begin Perek Chaf Vav also. We'll see. We'll see how our timing treats us. Okay, so if you remember the beginning of Perek Chaf Hei, it's a long Perek, so this is the third shiur, but in the beginning, David approaches Naval. In order to get, Naval is a wealthy fellow, in order to get provisions for him and for his men. Naval disgraces David, says, who is this guy David? I don't know who he is. He insults him, he disgraces him, and he says, nothing doing, I'm not giving you any provisions. David tells his men, that's it, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill Naval. And Abigail, Naval's wife, gets wind of this, and then she goes to intercept David and intercede on her husband's behalf, and that's what we learned last week, the conversation between Abigail and David, really one side, really was more Abigail talking, trying to convince David not to do anything to her husband, and we'll see in a moment that David hears Abigail, he listens to her, and he decides not to kill Naval not because of what he did, despite what he did. Okay. So if you take a look at Pasuk Lamed Beis, so again, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Beis, David is responding to Abigail's arguments. Hayomer David l'Avigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Shelachei Chayom Azel Likrasi. So David says to Abigail, Baruch Hashem, right? Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that Hashem sent you today to greet me, to intercept me, to intercede on your husband's behalf. Baruch Hashem, thank you so much. The Malbim says he recognized Abigail was correct. So the first thing he does is thank Hashem. Baruch Hashem, right? Thank Hashem that Hashem allowed us, allowed you to come to me. And it's interesting that the Pasuk uses the words Asher Shelachech. It sounds like a Kadosh Baruch who sent Abigail directly. Says the Radak, of course, she was not a Shaliach of Hashem. We don't see she was a Nevi'ah, but she didn't get any type of Nevu'ah to go speak to David. This was not a divine mandate to go speak to David, but nevertheless, it was Hashgachas Hashem. It was clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating the events, and that's what the Pasuk means, Asher Shelachech, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating the events behind the scenes still means that Hashem sent it, even though he didn't send her directly. So David is very thankful that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged for Abigail to come. The Mefarshim point out that Abigail is spelled Abigail. It's spelled without a yud here, right? Normally we spell it with a yud, Abigail, and here it's spelled Abigail without a yud. So the Pashup Shat says the Radak is that there really is no difference, and Abigail is the same name. Sometimes she was called Abigail, sometimes she was called Abigail, but that's really the same name. But he does quote a Medrash that says that because at the end of our learning last week, we learned that Abigail asks David to remember her, right? The exact language of Pasuk, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hated, Hashem Adoni v'zacharta es am asecha, you should remember your maidservant, right? Keep me in mind, remember me. And because of that, the Radak says, according this Medrash, that she was mafkir herself. She was mafkir herself. It's not clear if he means this in an intimate way, or if he just means that she kind of put herself on the line, made herself vulnerable in a way that was not appropriate. But whatever it is, the Radak says that there was some level of inappropriateness in Abigail's request of David to remember her. And because of that, the Pasuk leaves out the Yud of her name to show that she did something wrong. It wasn't 100% kosher what she did. And that's why it's spelled Abigail in this pasuk. Okay, so David is thankful to Hashem that Hashem sent Abigail to intercede and to stop him from killing Naval. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Uvaruch Tameich Uvrucha At. Right, that your reasoning is blessed, says the Malbim. Her reasoning was correct. Right, so he's saying your reasoning should be blessed because your reasoning was so correct. Uvrucha At, and also you inherently are so great, right? Obviously, she was an Aviyah, she was a great person, that you deserve yourself. You deserve your family to be saved. Remember, David was not just going to kill Naval, he was going to wipe out, Naval and his entire family and everybody. So David says, listen, you're pretty worthy of saving your entire family. That's the brucha at according to the Malbim. Asher kilisini hayom azemi bo v'damim. You stopped me today from spilling blood, right? Literally, you stopped me from spilling innocent blood. V'hoshea yadi li, and you stopped my hands from doing something that was not proper. And here also this is where the Chazal pick up the Gemara and Megillah, which we mentioned last week at the end. Chazal pick up on the plural of the word damim. Damim implies two different bloods. So one blood obviously is the blood of Naval that David was going to spill by killing Naval. The other damim, the pasuk says, refers to maybe dam nida, refers to the dam of Abigail. And as we learned last week, the pasuk says that Abigail somehow revealed herself. And it's a question: did she do that inappropriately? Was she in private when she did it? And David, he saw that and he was very attracted to her, and he actually, asked, he proposed himself to her, he wanted to sleep with her, and she said, absolutely not. This should not be a stumbling block, as we learned in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. This shouldn't be a stumbling block to you. And David said, okay. And he didn't sin with her in that way. So the Pasuk picks up, the Chazal, I should say, pick up on this word, the words here, Mivo Bedamim. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Ulam Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Asher mina'ani mehara osach. So Chai Hashem is the language of an oath, but he's essentially saying, like, you know, again, like Baruch Hashem, that Hashem stopped me from causing any harm to you. Ki lulei mihart v'tavos likrasi. Had you not hurried and come to approach me, ki imno sar l'nava l'ador aboke mashtin bekir. There would be no one left from Naval's entire camp. As we learned last week, Mashtin Bekir, whether it refers to a dog or there would be no males surviving, whatever the case is. But either way, there would be no one surviving had you not come to me. And the Malbim says the Hashgachas Hashem that put this in her mind to come and intercept David, that was a direct result of your merit, of your zchus. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayikach David miyada eis asher hevia lo. So David now accepts from her hands the offering that she had brought him. Vela amar ali l'shalom leveisech. And then he says to her, go in peace back to your house. Re'i shamati v'koleich v'esa ponayich. See, I have listened to you. I'm not going to harm your husband. V'esa ponayich, and I'm going to show favor to you. And again, says the Malbim, until now he was talking about Naval. Now he turns to her. He accepts the offering from her as a sign of respect to her. Vayikach David miyada. That's a sign of respect to her. And he ends the pasuk. Va'esa panayich. I'm going to show favor to you. I'm not going to bear any grudge, chas v'shalom. I'm going to show favor to you. And obviously David was very taken by her, not just physically taken, as Chazal say, but he was also spiritually. He realized that she was a special person. Lamed vav. So Abigail goes home, Vatavo Abigail al Naval. So Abigail comes home to Naval, and Baruch Hashem, Vihine lo mishte beveso, ki mishte hamelech. He's got a party going on, right? Naval's throwing a party. And again, remember, this was a party because of the shearing of the sheep. Naval had many, many sheep, and this was the time of the shearing of the sheep. It's a time for a party because he's going to make a lot of money. So he's got a big party happening. The Lev Naval Tovalov, he's in a great, jolly mood. The Hu Shikor Admaot, he's plastered, as they say. He's totally drunk. Velo Higidalo Davar Katon Vigadol Ad Or Haboker. She didn't say a word to him. Now, the Malbim says that there are three reasons alluded to in this pasuk why Abigail did not say anything to him right away. So, number one, he didn't notice anything was missing. Remember, Abigail took a whole lot of food with her to give to David and to his men. So had Naval realized that something was missing, and had he challenged her and says, you know, hey, Abigail, what's going on? I'm missing a ton of stuff. I'm missing a lot of food. Then she would have had to offer an explanation. But that was not the case. As the pasuk says, v'hinei lo mishta beveso ki mishta amelech. He had a big, lavish party, and there was so much food there that he didn't even notice that the supplies and the provisions were missing. The stuff that she had taken. So that's reason number one why she was not pressured to say anything to him. Reason number two is Velev Naval Tovalov. He was in a very jolly mood. She didn't want to ruin his mood. He's in a good mood. Imagine what's going to happen when she tells him, you know, where she just came from. He's not going to take that very kindly. So she didn't want to ruin his mood. And number three, he was drunk. And who knows what he's going to do when he's drunk, right? He's going to get upset. Maybe he's going to kill her. He's going to harm her. So therefore, she didn't want to say anything. And these are the three reasons, says the Malbim, that she kept her mouth shut. She did not say anything to Naval when she came. Hasag Lamed Zayin, but now the next morning, she's got to say something to him. Hasag Lamed Zayin, Bahiva Boker Betseis Hayayin Mi Naval. So in the morning, when the effects of the wine wear off, Batagelo Ishto Es Hadvarim Ha'ele, Naval's wife, meaning Abigail, tells him everything that happened, her meeting with David, her conversation with David, what David said, Vayomas Libo Bikirbo. Literally, that means that his heart died within him. Now, it doesn't mean literally died, but obviously it means he was in shock. Vehu Hayala Oven. Now, this does not mean he died, because we'll see in a moment that he's still alive. He will die soon, but he's not dead yet. But all the Mefarshim say that he was in shock, right? He was in shock, and he was scared because of what she said. It was clear that David was on the way to kill him and would have killed him and all of his men. So that shook him up. He was very shaken by that. He was very scared. And even with Abigail's intervention, he was nervous, says the Metsudas David, that maybe he's still going to come. Even though Abigail came to him and she told him not to, you know, and she says he listened, but I don't know. Maybe he's still going to come and kill me. Maybe he's marching down the road right now to come and kill me. So he's very, very scared. Now, Naval is not punished immediately. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Vayihi Ka'aseres Hayomim. 10 days later, Vayigov Hashem Es Naval Vayamos. And Hashem causes a plague, like a magefa, to afflict Naval, and he dies. And he dies. Now, all the Mefarshim pick up on this. You know, why the 10 days? Why this 10-day delay? Between the time that Abigail told Naval what happened and the time that he dies, it's 10 days. What's going on? You know, what's the pshat here, this 10 days? So Pasha Pshat, says the Radak, Pasha Pshat here, is that he was sick. He got sick, and he was sick for 10 days. And after the 10 days, then Hashem killed him. Then Hashem killed him after the 10 days. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. However, the Radak mainly, and Rashi also mentions several Midrashim here that describe exactly what was going on with the 10 days. This was not just a 10-day sickness. And in fact, if you read the Psukim, if you read the Pasuk, it doesn't even sound like he was sick for 10 days. It says, Vayihi Ka'aseres Hayomim, Vayigov Hashem Es Naval. It almost sounds like Hashem, you know, got him sick at the end. Vayigov Hashem Es Naval at the end after the 10 days, which is strange. So what exactly is going on here? So says the Radak, quote several Midrashim, and one Medrash is that the 10 days corresponded to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that actually he was given 10 days to do Tshuva. Hashem delayed the punishment for 10 days, Vayikra Aseres Hayamim. Hashem kind of put things on hold for 10 days and allowed him to do Tshuva, just like we have the Aseres Yimei Tshuva to do Tshuva. That's what Hashem gave to Naval. Now, the Radak finds this Medrash very difficult because he says the Pasuk, in the previous Pasuk, just ended V'hu haya la'aved, that he was basically in shock and he wasn't all that responsive to what was going on. So if he was in shock and his lev was like oven, says the Radak, how was he supposed to do tshuva? That's not really a state from which a person can do tshuva, and therefore he's... The Radak finds this Medrash very difficult. Okay, now he does quote another Medrash. Hold on one second, sorry. Sorry. Okay, so the second Medrash that the Radak quotes is that the 10 days was actually a reward for Naval. It was a reward. Why? Because there were 10 men who came as messengers from David to Naval originally, and those 10 men were fed. Now, it doesn't sound like they were fed a whole lot. Sounds like Naval was still a little bit stingy with them, But he did give them some food. He didn't give food to, for David and all of his men. But the 10 men that came, he did give them some food when they came. And therefore, he was rewarded for feeding those 10 men. And that's why he got a delay of his sentence for 10 days. That's the second medrash that that the Radak quotes. The third medrash that the Radak quotes, which is also the medrash that Rashi quotes, is that Hashem actually waited because Shmuel just died. Remember, we learned last week or 2 weeks ago that Shmuel, according to one interpretation, had just died. And because Shmuel just died, Shmuel's Shiva was ongoing. And Hashem did not want to mix, so to speak, the Shiva of this great tzaddik of Shmuel with the Shiva of the Rasha of Naval. So therefore, he waited 7 days for Shmuel's Shiva to conclude. And then after the 7 days, when Shmuel's Shiva concluded, then Naval became sick. And the sickness lasted for 3 days. And then at the end of the 10 total days, that's when he died. That's what the that's the last medrash. And the Radak says this is also consistent because we find in Chazal that a magefa always implies 3 days. So this would actually this medrash actually fits with that Chazal, that the magefa was only 3 days, and the first 7 days were really just a delay to enable and allow Shmuel's Shiva to conclude. Okay, pasuk lamites, vayishma David ki meis Naval. So David hears that Naval dies, right? And wow, this is good news from his perspective. Vayomer baruch Hashem asherav esriv cherpasi miyad Naval. Baruch Hashem that Hashem fought my fight. He fought my fight, and he avenged my disgrace. Because if you remember in pasuk yud, Naval was very disrespectful to David. He disgraced David. Me, David, who is this guy? And he says, there are many rabu avadim on his parts. There are many servants that are not loyal and that do things wrong, referring to David, of course. So, so he said, you know, he disgraced me, he insulted me, and now he's getting his payback. Yes, avdo chasach me'ra'a. And again, he thanks Hashem for preventing him from doing any evil, from causing any harm directly to Naval. Ve'yisras Naval heishiv Hashem b'rosho. Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of Naval himself. Ve'yishlach David ve'yidaber ba'avigayil lekachta lo le'isha. And now Naval's gone. Now David says, okay, now it's appropriate to marry Abigail. As we spoke about, we mentioned that last week. Okay. Pasuk Mem, Vayavo Avdei David el Abigail HaKarmela. So the servants of David, the messengers of David, are sent to Abigail to Carmel. The Malbim points out that Naval got sick right after the party. The party was in Carmel. Naval got sick right after the party, so he never made it back home. If you remember, Naval came from a place called Ma'on. He never made it back to Ma'on, but he got sick in Carmel, which was where the shearing party was, and that's where Abigail still was. So the servants of David are sent to Abigail in Carmel, by Yedabru Eileha Lemor, and they say to Abigail, David shelachanu eileich lekachtech lo leisha, David has sent us to take you as a wife, he would like to marry you. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Batokam Batishtachu Apayim Arza. So she gets up and she bows down as a sign of respect and humility towards them. Batomer Hine Amoscha Leshivcha, Lirchots Ragle Avde Adoni. A sign of humility, says the Mitzutas David. She's saying, I don't deserve to be his wife. The only thing I deserve to be is the Shivcha who washes the feet of his servants. That's all I deserve. And she says, Amasecha, right? Interesting, the Malbim says, even though she's talking to the messengers, she's not talking to David himself. Why does she say, Hine Amascha? Amascha sounds like she's talking directly to David. So says the Malbim, because Shlucha Shaladim Kemosa, right? These people are the Shluchim of David. And therefore, it's as if she's talking directly to David. Shlucha Shaladim Kemosa, she says, Amascha. Pasik Membeis. But listen, David, he's the king elect, so to speak. He's spoken, so what am I going to do? So she hurries up and she gets up and she goes. She rides, she gets on her donkey. And with five maidservants following her, and she follows the messengers of David. And she marries David. Pasuk Mem Gimel. The S.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I have trouble with this. This is the great David HaMelech who wrote Tehillim. I mean, he's the one of the greatest people in the world. How do you explain him thinking of doing anything with Abigail before her husband died?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's unfathomable.
That's a good question. It is hard to understand. And of course, David, on his Madrega, the question is what exactly when Chazal say the language of the Gemara is Hashmili, it sounds like he really wanted to be with her. You could say maybe he meant after Nava's going to die. He knew the Nava was going to die soon, and maybe he meant then. Maybe he meant be my wife after Nava dies. The otherwise it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. The Chazal do say, and again it's hard to explain. It's interesting because this sometimes you have a situation where the psukim imply that someone did something wrong. And Chazal come and say, no, that's not really what happened. They didn't really sin. In fact, with David and Bathsheba, the Gemara says, "Kol ha'omer David chata ina ela toa." And anyone who says David sinned in the way that it says in Tanakh is making a mistake. That's not really what happened, right? So there, the understanding is that the psukim are not meant to be taken 100% literally, and they're explaining what the sin was on his level. He did something that for us, it would look like that. That's the way I remember my Rebbe, Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, explained it. That with the sin of David and Bathsheba, it doesn't mean that he did exactly what it says in the Psukim, but on his level, what he did was so bad for him that it was as if we did what it says in the Pasuk. That's how he explains it. But here it's the opposite, because here the Pasuk does not imply at all that David wanted to sin with Abigail. Zero. The only reference we have to anything, intimate was only after Nabal's dead. So then David says, okay, now that he's dead, she seems like a great girl. Let me marry her. So it's a little different because Chazal and the Gemara say, they read between the lines in the Medrash that David, wanted to sin in this way. If we understand it literally, it's hard to understand without explaining. Chazal do say, "Kol agadol mechaveru yitzro gadol hemen." That the greater the person, the greater the yitzer hara. So it just means they have to control themselves more. But David has a greater yitzer hara. There are gemaras that talk about amoraim, and tanaim that they were on the brink of doing something wrong because they were in the wrong situation. The Gemara talks about, I think it was Abaye, one of the great Amorite. The Gemara talks about that he saw a young man and a young woman secluding themselves, walking into a forest together alone. And then they they went for a stroll. They came out, and this great Amora said, I don't understand how that man controlled his Yetzer Hara. If I was in that situation, alone with no one watching in a secluded area, I don't know that I would have been so successful controlling my Yetzer Hara. So there is a Chazal like that. Just because a person is a great person doesn't mean they don't have a great Yetzer Hara. And in this case, Baruch Hashem, he did not sin. His Yetzer Hara was getting the best of him. He did not sin. I mean, listen, we find with Yosef HaTzadik, right, that Ashes Potiphar seduced him. And according to one interpretation in Chazal, he was about to sin. He was about to sin with her. And at the last moment, he was able to stop himself. He saw the image of his father, and that stopped him. But he was about to sin, And that's Yosef HaTzadik, the great Yosef. So it's difficult to understand, but that is but that is what Chazal say. Okay, so Pasuk Mem Gimel tells us that somebody asked a question in the chat here. Is there a time period that she has to wait to marry David? So the answer is generally yes. We generally assume that someone has to wait, I believe it's 3 months, at least 3 months before getting married to someone else, just because, let's say a woman is pregnant and she doesn't know it, and now she marries her new husband, then it's hard to know who's the father of this baby. So that's why there generally is a waiting period, I believe, of 3 months, just to make sure either that she is pregnant from the first husband or she's not pregnant, and then she's safe to marry the second husband. Now, it just because it says here in the pasuk "Natilo liisha" does not necessarily mean that this happened immediately. It could be that they did wait that period of time and just and maybe they got kiddushin, or maybe there was something else, but that they committed to each other, but it could be that they didn't get married for that period of time.
Well, Rabbi Rashi says that Avigail wanted to marry David right away after Naval died, but David said wait 3 months just to be safe.
Rashi said that?
Yeah, Rashi says that in the Navi.
Which pasuk? Here?
Either Rashi here or Rashi in Megillah, that Avigail wanted to marry David right away after Naval died. And David said, no, wait 3 months, just play it safe. Uh-huh. That's why David's, we'll see later on, Shmuel Bet, that's why David's son is called Kilov, because everybody said, oh, it's Neville's son. But no, Rashi says there, it's all David. He looks just like David.
Uh-huh, interesting. Right. So I don't remember Rashi saying that here, unless I missed it. But maybe it's Rashi and Megillah, could be. Maybe it's Rashi and Megillah. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so Pasuk Mem Gimel. Ve'es Achinoam lokach David mi'Yisrael. And the pasuk says, he married Avigail. That wasn't the only wife he married. He also married a woman by the name of Achinoam. That was another wife that David married. And then pasuk Mem Dalid, which is an interesting pasuk and kind of throws a monkey wrench in things, and the Mefarshim all have to struggle with this. Pasuk Mem Dalid says, "V'Shaul Nasan Es Michal Bito Eishes David LePalti Ben Laish Asher Migalim." And Shaul gave Michal, who was Aisha's David, the wife of David, gave her to Palti ben Laish to be a wife. That's the end of the parable. So, of course, all the Mefarshim are trying to reconcile these two psukim. What's going on here? He's marrying these two women. Okay, great. He's marrying Avigail and marrying Achinoam. And some say that there's a question in the Mefarshim here. Atiyana gam shteyem lo lenashim. Some say gam shteyem means in addition to Michal. Michal was his wife already, and now in addition to Michal, he married Abigail and Achinoam. And some say no, it means separate from Michal. Michal was no longer his wife, and now it was only Abigail and Achinoam. Now, of course, the question is, how in the world could this happen? Right? How can Shaul, remember, was a tzaddik. He may have made some mistakes, but he was a tzaddik. He followed halacha. How could he give his daughter, who was already married to David, to Palti ben Laish as a wife? And not only that, but the Mefarshim say that later we find that David remarries Michal. And the question is, how can he remarry her? If she was married to Palti ben Laish in the interim, then he's not allowed to remarry her. The halacha is that machzir grushaso, a person is only allowed to remarry a woman, even if we concoct somehow that she was divorced. But even in the case of divorce, you can't remarry your divorcee unless she was not married to anyone else in the interim. But if she married another man in between, that's it. She's off limits. You can't marry her anymore. That's halacha in the Torah. So what's going on over here? So Pashup Shad, the Radak has several interpretations here. Pashup Shad, he says, is that they got divorced. Pashup Shad, they got divorced. Now, we don't read, obviously, of any divorce here, but Pashup Shad, he says, is that Shaul actually pressured David to divorce Michal when David was first running away. If you remember in the beginning, David was kind of running away to avoid Shaul, but he wasn't completely running away. He was still coming back. He was still serving Shaul, but he wasn't present as much in the palace. And at that time, says the Radak, that maybe at that time Shaul pressured David to give her again, because he wasn't around all the time, and of course at that time Shaul wasn't very happy with David. He wanted to kill him, so maybe maybe David divorced her, and that's why Shaul gave her to Palti ben Laish as a wife. So then the question is, like we asked, how can David have remarried her? So some say that maybe it was considered a forced get meusa. A husband has to give a get willingly. So maybe in this case, if Shaul forced him to give the get, maybe that's not a valid get. So really, they were never divorced, and that's why David could, quote-unquote, remarry her, because he wasn't really remarrying her. They were never really divorced to begin with. Shaul's based in thought it was a good divorce, and that's why Shaul gave her to I'm sorry, to Palti Ben Laish. So that's one possibility. Another interesting possibility is the Radak suggests that maybe David, before he divorced her, told two witnesses secretly that the get he was giving was not really being given willingly. But he kept it quiet. Only these two witnesses knew. So Shaul didn't realize. He thought it was a valid get. So he gave Michal to Palti Ben Laish to marry. And then afterwards, these two witnesses came forward and said, David testified to us that it wasn't a valid get, and therefore they were never divorced. And that's why David and Michal were able to remarry. That's answer number two. Answer number three is that perhaps David sent the get with a messenger and nullified the get before it was delivered to Michal. So Michal had no idea. The messenger comes and the messenger gives her the get. So she thinks she's divorced. Shaul thinks she's divorced. Gives her to Palti Ben Laish. In reality, David had nullified that get, and therefore she really never got a get. And she was never divorced. So that, this is the Pashup shot that that David divorced her, but it really wasn't a great divorce. But the Radak also does quote some Midrashim based on Gemaras that that in reality, maybe this was really something wrong. Right? There were some, there's an opinion in Chazal that said that this was improper. That really David and Michal were married and it was not appropriate. And it was improper. He could not really give her to Palti Ben Laish, but he did. Some say that that there was a kiddushei toos. There was a mistake in the kiddushin. When David married Michal originally, he married her. If you remember, he got 100 orlos of plishtim. Right? Shaul says, "I want you to kill plishtim." He killed 100 plishtim. He took their orlos and he married Michal. So some say that he used that as the kiddushin. But Shaul, if you remember, also promised great wealth to the person who would kill Goliath. So Shaul thought, oh, David is expecting this great wealth, which he never gave him, and therefore he's Mekadesh B'milva. He's being Mekadesh with a loan because there's nothing really here yet, and it's not a valid Kiddushin. So maybe there was a problem with Michal's Kiddushin to begin with. A third approach in Chazal, interestingly, is that, no, really, David and Michal were married. Shaul was not permitted to give Michal to Palti Ben Laish. Palti Ben Laish knew that, and never slept with her. There's an opinion in Chazal that Palti Ben Laish, the entire time they were quote-unquote married, never slept with her. And in fact, the Gemara says that he placed the sword in the bed in between them. And he said, if I ever touch her, I should be killed by this sword. And he was able to conquer his Yetzer Hara. Imagine, you know, being married to a woman and, you know, sleeping with her in the same room and never touching her because he recognized that she was really David's wife. And what Shaul did was inappropriate, and therefore he never touched her, and he was kovesh his yitzro, and according to that he was a big tzaddik Palti Ben Laish that he was able to do this. Okay,
Rabbi, there's a fourth possibility also.
Yeah,
fast forward to Shmuel Bet with Batsheva and Uriah. How was David able to quote unquote do what he did to Batsheva? Because what did people do when they went to war? They gave their wives a quote unquote war get. And that's right. Exactly what David gave to Michal. That's why Shaul thought it'd be okay to give her over. That's the fourth possibility.
Interesting. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Good. Interesting. Okay. All right. We don't have time to start the next parak tonight, so we'll stop here for tonight. And Birtz Hashem, next week we will begin parak Chaf Vav.